So you have many men that know that. Here we go. Hello, my name is Miss Parker, and I hope this time that this recording I actually do it the right way. I'm going to start out reading a disclaimer of liability. And thank you very much for showing up today. The material and information contained or given on this website is for general information only. All parties on this channel are not lawyers or financial advisors. You're using this information with your own discretion. You should not rely upon the material or information on this website as a basis for making any business decisions. While I do endeavor to keep the information up to date and correct, sometimes I go a little bird walks in my talk. RP Project Help makes no representations or warranties of any kind expressed or implied about the completeness, accuracy, reliability, suitability, or availability with respect to the website or the information, product, services, or audio files, related graphics contained on the website for any purpose. All due diligence is the responsibility of the participant. So the first document I want to put up there is the non-disclosure agreement addendum. And the reason why this non-disclosure agreement addendum is very important is because it protects you. And the other non-agreement disclosure addendum, these are your who is not, who are you going to have covered under your NDA is what this is. And if you open up the document, you're going to see under professional contacts, it says, instead of listing the names of everybody, because you don't know who you're going to hire right now. So I have any and all retained or paid wealth managers. This document was given to me. This is not my work product. And I don't know the person's real name, but this was given to me. I don't want to claim material that I didn't do. And this was a channel person that was in the channel before. And they're no longer in the channel. Anyway, any and all retained or paid wealth managers, any and all retained or paid private bankers, any and all retained or paid personal bankers, any and all retained or paid private attorneys. The attorney thing is important because if you're signing an NDA that says you're not going to talk about things and you find out that this NDA is protecting the people that are stealing from you, because if you can't talk about the different currencies and you accidentally RV at a place that is criminal, then what's going to happen is you can't talk about the crime that's been perpetrated against you. So I'm in that same spirit of trying to figure out how do we do this so that we can protect ourselves. This NDA, this type of non-disclosure where it's doing a blanket, this is going to protect you, I believe. Any and all paid attorneys, any and all paid accountants or CPAs, any and all paid, retained or paid, transition team members, that's the people that your transition team when you first get started until you actually hire your whole team. And then any and all retained or paid humanitarian and investment advisors. If you are going to make friends or talk to one of the humanitarians, or you want to have a conversation, I put that in there because there might be a reason that you need to reach out and talk to me or talk to another humanitarian. Or you believe there's somebody that you can get information from, you need to send them a retainer and then you can talk to them. Like, you have questions for me? Send me $100. $100 is nothing when you guys get money. And that way I'm paid and that way I can talk to you and not violate your NDA. Any and all paid or retained security consultants. On the other side of this document, it has the primary contacts. The XXXX, that's for phone numbers. So you can put the phone numbers of your spouse. If you already have an executive assistant before you go in, you can put that phone number in. If you have an IT or security consultant, you can put their phone number in. A lot of times people have those people already set before they go into the RV. If not, just erase that. This is a completely rewritable document. You can erase stuff, add stuff in it, any kind of thing. On the bottom of this, it has the name of the bank or the exchange center representative, because you want to know the name of who you gave your original NDA to, and you want to know the name of the person who you're giving this addendum to, just in case anything foolish comes up later. It's documentation for yourself. So I just want to give you that little information before we start to this next part. So I had said earlier that I didn't like the sample NDA that I gave you guys. It's real basic, and a lot of crap that was on there was copied from another group. And I just thought, here's the form, at least you can use it. I added more stuff on it that wasn't from the other group, and then I was like, ah, fuck it. Just throw it all away, let's start new. So I have this new list just in a Word doc in a, you know, first 90 days, you know, first 10 to 30 days, 30 to 60 days, and then 90 days. So I have it in a line instead of in an Excel document. It made it a lot easier to work with. And it was a lot easier to understand when you're going through the document. So this is radically different than what you've seen on anybody else's channels. And the reason why this is radically different, excuse me, is this is an actual real document. I had a client who, I swear to God, you know, the sign you say, what'd you do, fall off a turnip truck? I'm pretty sure this guy absolutely fell off a turnip truck and landed directly on his head, because he was like pulling teeth trying to work with him. It was so difficult because he was so motherfucking stupid. I mean, stupid beyond stupid beyond stupid. He drove me to the brink of distraction. I was so irritated. I was so irritated that when I saw his name come up on the list of things to do, I'd get mad before I even saw him. Pissy redhead. Oh, it was bad. And so he drove me insane. Literally drove me insane the entire time, the entire process. Halfway through the process, I wanted to give him all his money back and kick him out of the office, because I'm like, not fucking talking to you no more. You just drive me nuts. And I knew if I could find that document was the most detailed document of any I'd ever done in my life, because I had to deal with an idiot. And I found the document. So last night, in the middle of the night, couldn't sleep. And I got up and I said, hey, is anybody still awake? And there were about 10 people that jumped on. And so I went through this last night, and I also gave some intel, and that none of it was recorded. And I did not record it because I did not know if I was actually going to give this to the group and post this information on the channel. And so if you were here last night, this is basically a redo of what I did last night. So if you have other things to do, you can leave. I don't want to. You're more than welcome to stay. I just, like, this is going to be pretty much the same thing. So the first 10 to 30 days, I am going to tell them when I go in that my first day on the job is going to be 10 days after we start, after the RV. And the reason being is because I'm planning on taking a vacation. I'm going to take a 7-day trip someplace, and I need a couple of days to get everything ready before I go on my trip. And then I'm going to, like, I don't know, I'm going to get my toes in the sand someplace. And then I'm going to start. So when I come back, this is going to be my first time on the clock. Now, the chances are high, because I'm telling you that I'm going to take a vacation, and I also know that I have this amazing project. I'm going to feed the world. And I want to get my pots everywhere and take them to countries that have food scarcity. And then my solutions for long-term food storage that can be done in poor countries. So while I'm on my vacation, I don't know if I'm going to do anything. I'd like to tell you I won't do anything, but I'm a type A personality. I guess you guys can figure that out already. Because I don't quit. So one of the first things you're going to need to do is you're going to create what I call a cheat sheet. Okay. And the way you do that is you look at your projects and you try to imagine the key activities of your project, the different phases of your project. So you make a cheat sheet of the key activities that you're going to be doing, you know, biggest thing, startup things, next things, next things, next things. And then you, on the same cheat sheets, you put in what you believe your reporting requirements will be. Like you're going to build, say you're going to build a healing center, okay? So how often do you want the crew to report back to you on the status of the healing center, where it's working at? Do you want it every day, or once a week, once a month, every 2 weeks? You have to figure out what you're reporting, what you're comfortable with, okay? And you have to figure out deadlines, okay? So how long are you going to give them to finish this building? You're going to give them 6 months, 9 months, a year, and the steps of how this needs to be processed. So does the information go to you only? Does it go to you and your CEO? Who does this activity reporting go back to? What you're building both a chain of command and you're building a list of key activities. The chain of command kind of gets inserted into the key activities and it kind of exposes to you how you want your information flow to start. But the first thing you need to do is start building this cheat sheet of activities of step one, step two, step three, and get as detailed as you can. The next thing you need to do, now these things are not in order, okay? This is just for you. You may have other things that you need to do, and insert this in the first 10 to 30 days. The first 10 to 30 days are crazy, folks. They're crazy. There's no trying to dilute this. It's there. You're going to feel like you're being pulled all different directions. So part of the way you stop that feeling is you figure out a cheat sheet of when these activities have to be done. And that kind of slows down some of the people from hammering you and say, well, we got to get this done. We got to get this done. No, my dates for this is this date. This is my deadline for this. Many of the people that you will be working with, all your transition team and your full-time startup team, these guys and gals have done this before. And they forget, innocently they forget, that you don't know what you're doing. And this is going to be different for them because they're used to dealing with people that know exactly 195% exactly what they want. You are going to be different because you're going to have wiggle room in what you're doing because you don't know what you're doing. And that's normal. On the other hand, they know that you don't know. And if they have an agenda that they haven't revealed to you, they're going to push that agenda. So the way I told this client to slow this down is to make a sheet of what he believed the reporting requirements were, the deadlines were, and how they need to be processed. Now, you don't need to do that right now. This is the information of what you're going to do. You're going to create this sheet, okay, during that first 10 to 30 days. Now you don't just sit down and create this sheet. You start it and you're going to go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth with this sheet, okay? Until it's complete. And it's not going to be done and for 60 days. So you're going to be adding stuff to this cheat sheet the entire 60 days. As you get more information, you're going to add more information to this cheat sheet. And usually what I do is I start this cheat sheet, and then once I get my personal my executive assistant, I give the executive assistant the cheat sheet and say, okay, it's now this is your first responsibility is to put these information on this cheat sheet as I give it to you. It's a great first responsibility because it's a lot. At some point in those first 10 days, as soon as possible, you're going to make an appointment with a personal banking assistant and get as much information about the QSF, how to do your banking, any kind of bank questions you have, okay? You're going to start your search for your CEO. And you're gonna look for a CEO. You want the most badass CEO you can get. Oh, let's go back here. Hang on. I am not gonna be the CEO of my company. And the reason for it is the CEO is the one that has a massive target on their back. Goals are not met, if plans are not moved forward, it goes right back to the CEO. You look right at the CEO and go, what the fuck? How come you fucked this up? You don't want to have that position. So you want to have, if you're going to be the CEO, if you want to learn how to be a CEO, that's fine. But you need to hire a CEO to learn from. So if you decide that you want to CEO your company, you still are going to begin a search for a CEO because you're going to hire somebody for a 5-year for a 5-year contract to give him or her 5 years to teach you your job. And at that point, somewhere in that 5 years, you'll be on your second facility. So at that point, you can decide, hey, I'm going to actually keep this guy for more than 5 years. He'll run the second facility. And then the two of you will start working together, teaching a third CEO for the third facility. That's how you expand, is you get somebody to teach you, and then once you're competent, you feel competent, then the two of you split and you start a second facility, and then the two of you teach a third CEO, and then it just expands from there. That's how you do your expansion. But you want a badass CEO. I kid you not. You want someone that has prior experience with post and pre-IPO. You want somebody that has reached out and taken a company that was failing, turned it around and got it up running and very profitable and took it to the stock market and pre-IPO'd it, got it up on the stock market. And then post-IPO, he golden parachutes out of the company because he's achieved all of the goals that was set out when he took on the job of CEO. So in your search for the CEO, a lot of people they don't know how to use hiring agencies to the best of their ability. And when I have clients that have fuck you money, and I've been very, very lucky to have quite a few of those kind of clients, it's hard when you have clients that are really tied to their bank book and they can't move the way you want them to move because they don't have enough money to play that like that. You're not going to have that problem. You're not going to have that problem where you don't have enough money to play the way you want to play. You're going to have fuck you money. So I'm going to tell you about a trick that I use. And this trick works super, 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 super good. I hire two different headhunting companies. I hire one headhunting company to do interviews with me. And I hire the other headhunting company to find the potential hire. Now, most headhunting companies, they absolutely do not want to go work for somebody else and interview people. Most of them have never even considered that might be a workable job for them. You just have to change their ways. So what I do is I go talk to the hiring company that want to help me do the interviewing, and I say, "Hey, listen, I'm new to all this, and I need to hire a high-powered CEO, but I don't know how to interview them. I don't even know what questions to ask." So every time I have an interview with a potential CEO, I would like to hire you, Mr. Hiring Person, to help me interview this potential CEO because I don't know what questions to ask. And they'll turn their nose up at you for a minute. And then you tell them you're going to pay them $10,000 for every time they sit in an interview with you. All of a sudden, oh Lordy, they want to talk to you. So that's my trick. When I have clients that don't know what the hell they're doing, and they would like, "But I don't want you to tell me how to hire somebody. I want to hire my own CEO." And I'm like, "You're a dumbass. So you don't want to use me? Okay, you want to hire your own CEO, you want to do your own interviews. Okay, that's fine. Here's how you protect your dumbass self. You hire another agency to sit there and help you do the interview." Now, if you haven't heard my audio file on how to interview, you really should, because there's some tricks. Interviewing a person for a job. A lot of people that are new to interviewing, they think, "Oh, I'm just interviewing them." No. You're actually finding out, "Hey, Brian, you're actually finding out in this interview what their triggers are, what they actually what makes them tick, okay?" And you're gonna keep all that information. I urge you, if you haven't heard that audio file, please listen to the interview file because it tells you that interview file is full of tricks on how to interview people. And when you interview somebody, you use that opportunity to find out what they really, really want. Okay. And when you have a really difficult project where you think, "Fuck, this guy might not be able to pull this out," you offer not only the reward, the financial reward for meeting their goals, but you add the perk. And I'm specifically talking about, I had a CEO, and he liked, I can't remember the car, so I'm saying Alfa Romeo, but I don't think it was an Alfa Romeo. But in the interview, one of the pieces of information that he gave up was that in his free time, he liked to go to road rallies with this certain type of car. And I'm going to say Alfa Romeo because right now I know it's not an Alfa Romeo, but I'm just using that. It was an exotic little car, okay? And he liked the older versions of these cars. So I took that out and put that in my little file about this person. And then because I knew that in our future we were going to have some really, really difficult deadlines to make due to the work structure. And I wanted to make sure that he was amply enthused to get this work done. So when I told him, "Hey, we have to set up a second facility in 60 days. If you can do it, you'll get your bonus. Plus, I'm going to give you this little Alfa Romeo, a 1969 Alfa Romeo." And he's like, "What?" And I go, "Yeah, I'm not kidding. You can get this done. Yeah, you'll get your bonus, but you'll get this hot little fancy car as well." He tried to pull a rabbit through his asshole, man. He was insane to get this thing done, and he made it. Finding out what motivates your people is so important, really super important. And the only chance you get to do that is in the original interview. So you need to be taking notes during that interview as much as they need to take notes because you want to find out what makes that person tick so you can bring the clock, okay? So find a CEO that has major, major, major experience. A lot of times when I've done this, when I've had clients hire two different headhunting agencies, I've actually had them go to both agencies and say, hey, look, I've hired this agency as well. And whichever one of you has the potential client, I want the other one of you to sit and interview with me to help me through the interview process, and I'll pay you for your time. And once you do it a time or two, they don't got no problems with you. They're totally fine to do it with you. And it makes a great safety for you to make sure that you're asking all the questions that need to be asked for the job, number one. And number two, to make sure you get all the information that you need about what makes this person tick. So for motivation concerns later. Folks, I had a star migraine this morning, and I'm having a real hard time thinking right now. My head hurts, and it's starting to come back. So I don't know how long I'm going to be able to do this because it's starting to come back. Actually, I am going to fire up a joint because I am afraid if I don't do something, it's going to get so bad very quickly, I won't be able to do anything. The best CEOs, or I tend to hire CEOs that they ask me if I have a CFO in mind. I do not hire my CFOs first. I always hire my CEOs first. And then unless the CEO has a CFO, chief financial officer, that they want to bring on, I make sure my CEO is in the same interview room with me when I hire my CFO. The best CEOs, they will have a CFO that they will basically tell you, fuck you, I'm not working for you unless you also allow me to bring this CFO in and hire the same CFO. You want to hear that. That's the person you're looking for, because the best in the business, they're going to have a chief financial officer that they worked with for years, and they know each other. And because they know each other, they have a symbiotic relationship that tends to really, really, really boost your business, boost your company really fast. Smoke of them if you got them, boys. This is a migraine that's right between my eyes. Man, it's hurting. I thought I was going to be able to do this. Trying to take a hard hit to try to get rid of this headache and end up coughing. That's not too smart. Man. I'm trying to think and talk, and all of a sudden it starts coming back. Yeah, I slept through both my alarm clocks. I had a 3:30 alarm clock to get up and get ready for my 4 o'clock chat with you guys. And it wasn't happening. I slept through the whole thing. I didn't even hit the re-hit button. I just slept through all of it. Once you seriously get started, you're going to start holding meetings with your transition team. These are the people that will come from the bank, will come. Hopefully these are the people that you're going to get from the Redemption Center. You're going to be given people to talk to. Now, in the intel that I gave last night, I'm going to tell you guys one part of the intel. I had three different people contact me yesterday with intel, major intel. And one of the things that I was told is that one of the guys was told to his face that they do not have enough people to oversee all these projects. They absolutely do not have enough people. So anybody that came in there that showed any kind of self-drive, has looked up information, has already done steps to scaffold what they're doing, they are probably not going to be all over your ass the way people are that the other ones are. They said most of the people were coming in and they had documents that said, hey, this is what I want to do. This is how much money I need. Oh, and this is my humanitarian project. Here's the stuff. Now it's your turn to help me. So there's one thing to have the vision. There's another thing to guide the vision. So these people are not guiding their vision. They're not showing up with this 10-day, 30-day, 90-day plan. They're not showing up with these things. And apparently these plans are critical, 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 critical. In business, you pretty much have to turn them in no matter what you do when you first do your first pitch. And I thought, you know, all these people have been telling me, these, you're listening to all these different gurus and stuff. I hear all these gurus saying, you know, all these different parts about their project, but they never talk about this, the plan, the first 90-day plan. And so because they never talk about it, I thought it wasn't important. And it's like going to, say you move to Colorado, you know how to snow ski, okay? And you go to a snow ski, you're gonna go to a, that's not a good example, hold on. So you have a hot rod car and you wanna learn how to drift, okay? And drifting is a little dangerous, okay? Because you if you fuck up, you wreck your car. So you know how to drift. You've been doing this shit. You slide through the mountains. Slide, slide, slide. You're good at drifting, okay? So you go to this class where these people are supposed to show you how to drift. And as you're watching this and sitting through all the, you know, the hoo-ha, going to the meeting and everybody's getting ready to know what they're doing and everybody's meeting. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of the class, you realize these fuckers don't know how to slide their car. That's what I do. That's exactly the same kind of feeling that I had 3 days ago. I'm talking to one of my intel people, and they were just going on about how important this 90-day plan was. And then again, last night when I started getting my intel calls, those people, all this time before, they were talking about the business plan, none of that happened in these calls, these last calls. They were all about how important this 90-day, 30-day plan was. And then it's like, fuck, I know how to drift. I'm a business expert. I know what the fuck I'm doing. Stop listening to this shit. Go get out all the business shit. This is not rocket science. These fuckers have been making it sound like this was a completely different thing. It's not. When the real people come back, who've actually talked to these people, come back and talk to me, it's business. This is straight up business. This is right out of a fucking business book, guys. They're not, none of these gurus are telling you that this is a basic business pitch. Nobody. And because none of these fuckers have ever done it, they don't realize how critically important the 90-day plan is. It's critically important. They look, when you're doing a pitch, they listen to you. They want to know the things I've been telling you this whole time. How much does it cost? How many people are you going to hire? How long is this going to be? And how many people it's going to affect? Okay. That's what they always want to know. And so I'm pushing this business stuff in it when we first started, and I'm feeling guilty as fuck because nobody else is saying this. And so I'm doubting myself, going, fuck, Parker, you're an idiot. Nobody's saying this. Why are you saying this? Nobody's saying this is important. Why are you saying this? And then we get people from other countries that come back and go, that's the only part they focused on. Okay. So then my next group of people, I knew that they had these plans, but I was wondering, is it important or not? So it hit me. You know how to drift. You know how to slide. You know how to write these plans in the way they need them written, not this bullshit that I gave you the first time. The first time the shit I gave you was like, oh, all the stuff for the humanitarian stuff. That's all some of that stuff's important. Yes. And some of that stuff is good. Yes. And you can put, and I don't have that on this document that I'm reading to you, because you should have pulled from that document and made this your own. So what I'm giving you is only part of what you should have. That first sample piece of shit that I gave you, look at that as well. That actually has some good information in it, but it is not business driven. Okay. That's the difference, folks. They're all making this sound like fucking rocket science when it's not. It's a basic business pitch. That's all this is. So when I realized that I had this major validation moment last night, which is why I couldn't sleep. It's like, you were fucking right this whole time. And nobody's telling. So do I tell these people or do I keep it a secret? So I did this thing last night. I did this audio cast last night. I didn't record it because I didn't know if I was going to put this out to the main group, because I know if I record this, it's going to get stolen. It's going to go everywhere. And so I didn't know what I wanted to do. And then I decided, fuck all these other people. If this recording gets out, this is Ms. Parker from RV Project Help is telling you this shit. It's not from any of these fake fucking gurus, okay? This is business, folks. This is badass business. We're about to take on business. The humanitarian project is the same thing as a business. It's just the opposite side of the coin. That's all. So once I figured that out, that's when I started going through all my shit. I thought I was done. I had packed up all my documents. I thought I'd given everything to you guys. I was done. And then when I got the validation that, oh, it's a hallelujah moment. It's like, oh, fuck no. I know how to go in there with a motherfucking baseball bat and get every penny I want for my project, because I know exactly what they want now. So I started pulling out all this shit, going through all my old files, trying to find this. If you do a 90-day project, like put this information in with what you already have, that if you took that sample that I gave you, the shitty one that's on the Excel file that has a few interesting things in it, merge that information into what I'm telling you now. Because what I'm telling you now is straight business. This is straight business. This is what I would tell a client that was coming in with a $50 million project. You're sitting in a class with a client as if I had a client I'm telling about a $50 million project. What I'm doing for you guys right now, people will pay me $100,000 to do. And I was pissy because I wanted $100,000. And then I got to thinking about it and I was like, no, we ain't going to do that. We ain't going to keep this a secret. Because I'm building a team of soldiers. I'm building an army of humanitarians. And if my goal really and truly is to take out the motherfucking deep state and to get rid of all these, quote, humanitarian companies, unquote, that steal our kids, make adrenochrome out of our kids, torture our kids, then the best thing I can do is put out what none of these motherfucking fakers are telling anybody. So to all of you who have stolen this document and now playing it in your own document, you can't cut me out because I'm in the middle of it. The fake person that you're listening to doesn't have the balls to tell you what you're about to hear now. So fuck all you fake people. Yeah, the redhead is out in full blast, boy. So, this is for those of you who are humanitarians. I'm recording this for the army of humanitarians. I don't give a fuck who you like. I don't give a fuck who you follow. What I do care about is that you walk in there and you have everything you need to get everything you want to build the project of your dreams. Listen to what I'm telling you, folks. This is pure business. Take this information and put it in your 90-day plan. I've been telling you guys, make your documents just 2 pages. Hey, Leppitz, how are you? I've been telling you guys to make your documents just 2 pages. I've been telling you guys to get a 3-pronged folder. Who's ever got their mic open, you need to shut it. Shut your mic. I've been telling you guys to get a 3-pronged folder, and I've been telling you guys to get the clear sheet protectors. I showed you the pictures of these things. And I kept thinking, why? Why am I doing this? I've been honest with you guys. I'm really, really smart, but I have a really hard time pulling memory out. And so sometimes it doesn't happen immediately, but it happened finally. The reason why I keep saying 2 pages, 2 pages, 2 pages is I can see this in all my clients. I haven't worked with clients. I've been, ever since I started when we lost everything in Hurricane Harvey, that's been 6 years. So it's been 8 years and since I sat across a desk from a client. So a lot of, because it's been so long, it's been really hard for me sometimes to pull these memories out to remember what to tell you or how to help you, okay? So, oh shoot, I lost my train of thought. This, the humanitarian project has the aspects of a brand new building, of a brand new, for a lot of you, it's a brand new facility. Plus, it has all of the information for business. And nobody, none of the other people are telling you that. Listen to what I'm telling you, and then do go out and look up first 90 days in business and read everything you can. First 90 days in business for a dog shelter. First 90 days in business for a horse sanctuary. First 90 days in business for a hospital. Every single one of you is going to have a first 90 days for your project or something close. And if you do the search on the internet, all this stuff is going to come up. And then you're going to see what else that you need to consider for the business aspect of your humanitarian project. Those of you that do this work, you have now done 2 things. You've educated yourself on what you have to do because you've thought about it and actually put together a plan or did the research to put together a plan and you documented it. Speaking a plan is one thing, but researching, writing it, and putting it on and putting it forth as a program or as a plan of action, it takes it to a whole different level. Because now you have a starting point for everybody that you're bringing in. When you hire people, you can't just hire them and go, okay, you're hired. Let's sit around and what are you going to do now, CEO? It doesn't work that way. You have to have the startup document before you even hire a CEO. Because if you do it first, you've got a guy who's going to get pissed and leave. So the reason why I kept telling you guys 2 pages, 2 pages, 2 pages, it was different pages than I remembered. I thought it was 2 pages of your pitch. It's not. It's 2 pages of the pitch And the two pages that's in the second one of the second page is this plan. I couldn't remember it. I just finally remembered it. It's this plan. It's the 10-day to 90-day plan. So I kept remembering that it was just two pages, but it's the binder, and it has the three-prong binder. It's a little paper binder with three little metal tabs, and you put your sheets into the sheet protectors. You put your papers in the sheet protector, and you put them in the binder, and then you open up these three little prongs. It's really thin, okay? And all I could remember that it when I opened it up, it only had two pages. But it wasn't until last night that I realized it actually has four papers in it. It has the front and the back of the pitch, and it has the front and the back of the 30-day to the 90-day plan. I've been telling you the right thing this whole time. I just didn't know what I was telling you. It was a little wrong. But hey, I figured it out before we RV. Yippee! I'm struggling, folks. I have migraines coming back. I'm struggling remembering right now, and I'm struggling talking to you right now. But this needs to go out to everybody. If you know somebody in another channel, send this audio cast to them. Send this audio cast to the humanitarians that actually want to run their own projects. If you're listening to this audio cast and it's been taken out of my channel, which is fine, send it to other people that you know who want to be humanitarians so that they have the chance to do the best they possibly can as well. So you have to have a cheat sheet. Then you also have to have meetings with your transition team to flesh out all the plans and figure out your staggered starting dates for each project. If you have more than one project, do not tell them that you want to start. Oh, I'm going to start them all at once, because they'll look at you like a fool. No, you can't start them all at once. There is so much to do to start even a tiny company that even if you were starting a little, I make soap, you know, I make hand soap. That's a tiny little thing, right? I would never, never, never say open three little soap companies on the same day in the same place or the same in three different cities. I would never tell you that. Stagger start, I'm doing one a month, okay? Depending on how big your projects are, A good way to figure it out. This is going to sound crazy. My late husband was a builder, and he built stupid expensive homes, and he built cafeterias, prisons, schools, all that shit. Big, huge construction projects. And he also built these really fancy high-end homes. And what he told me, I said, how do you know how to start a project when you have all these major projects? And he says, well, he says, I look at my plan and I see how big of buildings each one is. And every 100 square foot of building is a month. I said, you're kidding me. Is that simple? He goes, yeah. He says, I cheat. He says, I do every 100 square foot is a month. What the fuck? So I started doing that. And he's, you know, I wish he was alive for a lot of reasons, but there's some things I like, dude, really? That was so fucking great information. I mean, I wish he was alive just for one day to say, God bless America. That was one of the best pieces of information you ever gave me. Funny how that works. But yeah, a lot of the things that I asked him years and years ago apply to everything that I did with my clients. I didn't have my consulting company. He passed away before I started my consulting company. And everything, every bit of advice he gave me, and he wasn't giving me advice. I'm a fucking redhead. I can't help myself. I have the curiosity the size of, Texas. I have a massive, and I cannot control it. Is it just completely out of control curiosity? You can't send me Christmas presents unless you wrap them completely with tape all over the whole package. I can't help myself. I have this, and I try, I fail. It's a redhead thing. I have this terrible, terrible curiosity. So I would ask him all kinds of questions about building because I found it just incredibly fascinating. So,
Hello.
hello?
Hello.
Somebody's got their mic open. Thank you. So, it's funny. I talk a lot when I'm in pain. This is funny. My headaches kill me. So some of those building tricks that he talked to, information that he talked to me about, I use as tricks when I go to estimate how to stagger start. I urge you to do the same thing. So the next thing I already know people are going to say, I don't know how big it's going to be. Okay, you don't know how big it's going to be. There's a thing called Zillow. Okay, go look on Zillow to see other things that are of the same thing you think yours will be. If you're going to have a rodeo, look at different rodeo grounds to see the size and get an idea. Oh, hey. This gives me a better idea of what the size is I need to have of my rodeo. If you're gonna make car parts manufacturing, you're gonna have a sanctuary, go and a dog rescue center. You get online, look for dog rescue centers, look at five, six, seven of them, and then say, okay, I want my center to be this size. Man, all these little centers are fucking little. This center is only like 2,000 square feet. Well, you didn't even know if it was 1,000 square feet or 100,000 square feet before you went and looked at these different things of the same nature. By looking at those things of the same nature, now you have an idea, a much better idea in your head of where you're going with the size of your project. Okay? So even if it's, say you're going to have a building and you're going to have to do a process where the things that you're doing is massive size. And so you need a lot of equipment to do these different things. So think about the type of equipment it is. Imagine how big that would be in your mind. And I take in my mind, I look at a bedroom, which is 8 by 10 bedroom. Will that piece of equipment that does that job fit in that bedroom? You have a good idea, broad idea of the sizes and the shapes of the things that are going to be involved in your business. In your humanitarian project. Okay? Your humanitarian project is no different than setting up a freaking business. The only difference is you're going to give away some shit. Okay? You still have to make a profit. You still have to make a proper item that does the right thing. So you have to approach the entire thing to make that quote proper item or whatever service or business that you're doing. That has to be the best you can be to make sure everything else falls in line. So, in order to do that, that's what that first 90 days is for. It's your walking orders, it's your walking steps, it's what you're gonna do. It takes you from sitting on the couch going, hand me my stuff, I'm ready when you tell me what to do, to be an active participant and being a humanitarian. For those of you that do not want to work, you want to sit back, you want to be the chairman of the board, you want you want reports every week, okay? Those of you, I don't care. Sorry, this is going to be bad news for you. The first 3 months, the first 90 days, you have to work. And this will be basically all the work, quote unquote, that you are going to have to do. And the reason why you need to be hands-on with this is because you need to know what you're starting. And it has to come from you. It's your vision. It's your heart. It has to come from you. Okay? So you're going to put in, tell the wife, tell the husband, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm going to take 90 days and start this. And after that, would you like to, you know, take a month vacation in the Mediterranean, sweetheart? And if you and your spouse have decided, or you by yourself have decided, fuck the cruel world, I'm going to support it, but I need to live my life now. There's no disrespect at all with that. But what I'm telling you is you have to put in that first 90 days. Because if you don't, you're going to be working with a project that is probably going to fail. Because you are going to start a project that has no brains. It has no vision. Because the brains and the vision is you. You didn't get to listen to this podcast, this audio cast, by luck. There's over a million people that are going to RV. And there are hundreds of millions of people that don't even know this RV is going to happen. So the chances of you listening to this podcast right now are very small. I believe God put this in your hands. I believe that my prayers are being answered. I'm praying to rise an army of humanitarians every day. And it's every day, every minute, every hour, every day. I want the power that is in your heart to come out. I want what God put in you to have the very best chance you can. I want you to rise as an army of humanitarians to repair the horrors of what these motherfuckers have done to America and have done to every country worldwide. I need to arm you with information so that after that first 90 days, for those of you that don't want to run this, you are standing on the back. This is going to feel like you're standing on the back. I've done this. I've done chariot rides. I know exactly what I'm talking about. This is going to feel like you're standing on two stallions. You've got one foot on one stallion. You've got the other foot on the other stallion. And you've got the reins of each set of reins in each hands, and the stallions are running. And you are riding. It's going to feel that exhilarating. It's going to feel like you're so far out of control. All you can do is motherfucking hang on, because if you fall, you're going to get run over by the very thing that's driving you. This is in your heart, folks. You got to the point where you told your brain, fuck you, I'm not listening to you. I can absolutely do everything I can do because my Father God has put it in my heart to do this. If you're listening, that's where you should be. I'm just a tool. God's riding this one. You're going to hold meetings with your transition team to flesh out all the plans and do staggered start dates for each project. If you don't have a CEO hired by this time, by the time you start holding these meetings, and I don't expect most of you will, Some of you are going to know CEOs, CFOs that are perfect for this, and you'll have them hired within the first day or two. The rest of you are going to be in meetings trying to find your CEO, okay? If you don't have your CEO, that's okay. You still need to know what or how to drive your transition team. Because if it's just you, they're all looking to you for guidance. If you don't know how to guide them, you can't ride them, okay? So what you want to do is you want to tell them, look, I'm here to flesh out all the plans and start dates for each one of these projects. I need your feedback on how to the best to do that. So that's what you're going to hold meetings for. You're going to hold meetings with your transition team to figure out all the plans and start dates for each one of your projects. Now, if you're not doing multiple projects, you want to do the start dates for multiple multiple offices, multiple sites, multiple. You're gonna make your replication of your business. Okay. So what's the start date? When do you think we're gonna be able to do a second opening, a third opening, a fourth opening? Okay. If you don't tell them these things, they're gonna tell you what to do. Okay. No, you need to route this. Okay. You're on the stallion. You're riding this. The reason why you want to get this transition work started and get the plans and the start dates for each project is because you have a bigger problem coming. You're about to hire a CEO, okay? That CEO is going to say, okay, boss, what do you want me to do? The first thing you're going to give him is this plan. Okay, CEO, Mr. CEO, we're fleshing out all the plans and start dates for each project. Here is all the information I have for each one of these projects. So part of the task I'm tasking you with is to help me flesh out all these projects. Can we hire someone to write full, get business plans written and go further with this? And the CEO is going to go, oh, hell yeah. And he's going to get on the phone and he's going to get somebody in that office the next day that can write business plans, can ghostwrite for you. I'm one of those people. I ghostwrite business plans for CEOs because I understand business. I can't do the work for you folks, but you are going to need somebody just like me. You're going to need a ghostwriter to write your business plans. Your CEO that you hire, that's one of the questions you ask them is, do you know someone that can write business plans? Do you have access with somebody that you work with that write business plans? That's one of the questions you're going to ask your CEO. Write that down. Write that down. That's a really important one. It's so frustrating because I have forgotten more than I know, and trying to bring back, like talking to people that have never done this before it's been a very long time since I've talked to newbies. It's very invigorating. It's very scary because I feel an extreme responsibility to you because I really want you to rise as an army of humanitarians and take back everything and fix everything. So it's super important for me to get you the best information and not hold nothing back. By just giving you the best information, I make an army. I make what God wants me to do. You're going to give this to your CEO. Your CEO is immediately going to call his CFO in, and they're going to start. The CFO will start working on the budget, and he'll be the one that'll do the real budget. He'll be badass. Your transition teams, they're going to think you don't know shit. And so they're going to hire a company to do your business plans. They're going to hire people, okay? And that's okay if they do, but you don't have to accept them. You take their hire stuff that they come up with, and you take it to your CEO. And the two of you look at your CEO's plans, the business plans that they help do, and you look at your transition team's business plans, and you and the CEO, you go over it and you figure out which way is the best for both of your styles. It's at that moment when you're working these two plans that you're going to figure out, yeah, this is really is the right CEO for me, or you're going to figure out, oh, fuck, I made a bad decision. Because that is when who your CEO is going to show. Because you are, how do I explain this? Fuck. You know what you want. And when you're going through two different business plans side by side, those business plans are literally the steps you guys are about to take to start your humanitarian project. So if you're looking at the one he is giving to you and you don't vibe with it, you're never going to vibe with that CEO. That's the wrong guy for you. Get a new one. When you hire your CEO, you want to do a caveat that says, you're going to do like you have a 30-day window to release and not hire him full time. I don't know what the word is right now. I can't remember it. But you put this, the condition of you have to, he has to, you know, you can release him for any reason for 30 days for not being able to work with the team, or I don't know the exact terminology. I do know it. I just can't remember right now. I'm sorry. Probationary. God bless you, Nilio. Thank you. Probationary period. I couldn't remember that word. Fucking headache is killing me. Okay. I can take a hit here. Hold on. Man, I'm trying to stop this headache from coming back, folks. I'm sorry. Ooh, this is painful. So, you're talking about fleshing out your plans. So the first thing you're wondering is, what fucking plans? We got that. Personal assistant, tax accountant, estate attorney, trust attorney, wealth family strategist, wealth strategist, estate attorney, trust attorney, CFO should be with your CEO, any kind of financial advisors, philanthropic giving specialists, yeah, there's such a thing, a trust manager, setting up your board of trustees, a CPA, security advisor, those are just some of them, okay? Your IT security. I don't know what your companies are doing, what your philanthropic plans are doing, what your humanitarian plans are doing. So I can't tell you what's on the professional team list. You're going to have to look at your plans and figure out what kind of people you need education in. So, you know, if you're doing a dog rescue, then you're going to have a veterinarian. Okay. So a professional team would be a world-renowned veterinarian would be on your team, you know? So whatever your project is going to focus on, that's who needs to be on your team as well. I can't answer those questions for you. Only you know that. And you just have to go into your project and look at it, and it'll make sense immediately. You'll know what you need as soon as you start understanding that you have to build a professional team. Now, all of these people that you're going to build your transition team with, you have to figure out on top of your transition team, because you're setting out your start dates for each section of your startup. Now that gives you breathing space on how you're going to hire people. Because once you figure out the first thing you figure out is your cheat sheet of when your starts are, your staggered starts, okay? So now that you know your starts, now you put the positions in that those starts need to have. Now you know when you need to hire people to fill those positions. So instead of, you know, starting your project and going, oh, we have 65 people to hire, how do I start? You don't have that problem now. Now you know, because your transition team and your CEO has figured out when your staggered starts are, that's given you a lot more breathing space for the sequence of hiring that you have to do. Okay. This headache is killing me. So, while you're fleshing out all this stuff and you need to get into the habit. I can already hear people screaming, I don't want to do that. Too bad. You need to get into the habit of carrying a briefcase. You need to get into the habit, ladies, of carrying a very large purse that you could put a binder into if you don't want to carry a briefcase. Gentlemen, there are messenger bags that you can carry that go around your chest, so they're easier to carry. But you need to get in the habit of doing that very, very soon, because you're going to want to keep all these documents with you, because it's you're creating your dreams, folks. You're literally creating your dreams. You're speaking your reality by what you're doing. By writing this down, you're creating your place in life, okay? So what happens when you start creating stuff? If you've never done this before, you're in for a hell of a fun ride, okay? Because what happens is, once you start being creative, it keeps happening. So you'll be doing normal things in your day and you'll go, oh shit, this will work great for my project. If you don't have something to write it down on, you're going to forget it. And it's not just people that have my kind of issue. It's everybody, because you get this idea and it causes a rush of endorphin. Like, oh, I solved the problem in my project. Yippee! You get this great feeling, okay? Because you get that great feeling, that in little bit of endorphin that you get also erases that great feeling. So you got to get in the habit of carrying something to write on all the time. And you are also going to hit these, you start figuring stuff out, okay? And as you figure stuff out, you realize there's more and more stuff you don't know. And so when you find those things that you don't know, you write them down so that when you get, you know, get home or in a place where you can continue working on your project, you can continue to add to it for this first 90 days. After 90 days, you launch. You're doing all the background work before you actually step out. You're giving yourself enough time to be highly, highly successful. The problem with most of the people I've done this work for is that they don't have enough fucking money to shut everything off for 90 days to get their feet firmly underneath of them so they can rocket launch, okay? They don't have the money. We got fucking money, okay? We all can take this first 90 days. And if you know how to use it, my friends, you will be an army to contend with. I will see and hear many people that are listening to this audio file. My name is Ms. Parker, and I will have events later. But the people that are listening to this and do what I'm asking you to do, this is going to launch you so far ahead of everybody, because you are now fully engaged with your project before you even go into the RV. A Stranger in a Strange Land, Heinlein. You ever read Heinlein? You grok it. G-R-O-C-K. Look up that word one day if you don't know what it is. But you will own your business. You will own your humanitarian project by writing out these kind of 90-day plans. These are the steps to launch you. It's not just what do I do to take care of stuff. This is what do I do to take care and start my actual humanitarian project. This is the exact thing that I do. This is the exact thing I do when I start a company. This is the exact thing I do when I teach people. This is the exact thing. I can't believe I had forgotten this. Pay all your personal bills. The first 10 days, pay them all. Get rid of everything. Hire a security team. When I say pay all personal bills, also figure out all your personal bills for like 3 months and put that number in, as part of your emergency fund. Because whatever your personal bills are right now, because of everything that's about to boost in your life, you're going to spend about 3 times what you normally spend on your personal bills in that first month. So that's why I say on your emergency thing, ask for 3 months worth of personal bills, and just understand that you'll probably spend all that in a month because of all the different places and all the different things you got to do. It'll add up. It'll just add up. Hire a security team. Research and find a trust lawyer. I mean research. Ask people in your wealth management team, the transition team. I'm sorry, I was trying to say transition team. Ask people in your transition team, okay? They're gonna give you suggestions on who to talk to for your trust lawyer, okay? Don't hire one yet. Ask your CEO about a trust lawyer. Why? Your CEO has nothing to gain by telling you the name of his trust lawyer, okay? Your transition team, you don't know the interconnections, and they may have an agenda by pointing out these different trust lawyers and stuff. So I always ask my CEO first, and I tell the CEO who they referred to me. And a lot of times, or most of the times, the CEO will say, oh yeah, that's a good trust lawyer. I know that person too. If they're good, if the trust lawyer is really good, your CEO is going to know who they are. So even if the CEO does know who they are, and it's not the person that he's recommending, he'll be able to tell you if they're a good or bad trust lawyer. If the CEO doesn't know that trust lawyer, go with the CEO's trust lawyer. You want your CEO to know who that trust lawyer is, if you like him or if you like the program. But it's up to you. You get to make all these decisions. You don't let people make these decisions for you. This is the heart and soul and core of your business. And these people are fully aware that you don't know what you're doing and you've never done this before. So I want to believe they have the very best interests for you. And I believe they do. On the off chance that you get involved with, you know, somebody fake or something, I don't know. I just want you to have all this information so that you can be as ready as you possibly can be. I sound like a broken record. I'm sorry. Take everything and look at it as an individual piece of a decision. Think. Don't just sit back and be an unactive participant. These people who they're putting in your lives right now, they'll be in your lives for years. So you want to make sure that you can control the excitement that you're feeling, that you're doing this, to making solid long-term decisions for your humanitarian project. That way you're protecting your investment, you're protecting what you're doing by making sure that you feel good about all these people and all these steps, and knowing there's ways to get your vision forward and not have everybody else tell you what your vision is. Because they know you don't, they're going to assume you don't know how to do any of this. So when you go in there and you start asking, hey, I need this, I need this, I need this, they're going to totally change how they treat you. Because they're going to understand immediately that you are, you know what you want. And you've thought about it, and they're going to ask you, well, how did you come up with this kind of a start? What made you come up with this type of start? Oh, well, I figured 100 square feet would be a month for building. So that's how I came up with it. Knowing the reasons why you do stuff, even if you don't remember any of it after I'm done with you, this conversation, I guarantee you that if you get asked these pointed questions, boomf, it'll come in your mind. You're expanding your consciousness right now about what your humanitarian project is about to do with you. Get med bed appointments. Education, 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 education. You want to inquire and register for training courses on sudden wealth, on fiscal training, banking terminologies, any type of humanitarian type classes. You ask for education. Ask for specific education that supports your background. I'm going to pick on Neilio. Ask for education on crypto trading or crypto stuff, because that's what your goals are. You're the only one I knew that was in something that I could point out, Nilo. But focus on your humanitarian project for that type of training, for that type of project. If you're going to be opening a dog clinic, a saving rescue clinic, focus on, ask for training on veterinarian information for the general public. Something that can get you more deeper into understanding of what you're about to do on a professional level. So it helps you when these professional people come back and talk to you about their projects, so that you don't feel that feeling of like, oh fuck, I'm way under everybody else, or you get intimidated because your lack of knowledge of what they're saying can be so radically different. And to go to a couple of these education classes, man, it'll make things so much easier, way easier. And they're actually kind of fun to do. So you want to always be learning something. And I talked to you about starting to carry a larger purse around, or a briefcase, or a messenger bag. In that messenger bag, briefcase, you need to have a book of something that you want to educate yourself on. Anything. It could be business. It could be more about your industry that you're about to get into. But go to Barnes & Noble's. Pick one that interests you, not because, oh, I should read this, but pick one that has kind of an easier read, not so technological, so that it's interesting to you. You want to, you know, sometimes it's really hard to get into the habit of reading or get into the habit of self-education. So if you pick a book that is light reading, it's more likely that it'll be interesting long-term, and you'll read it. And you get into the habit of, you know, pulling out your book, and, you know, you've got, if you're on the bus, you pull out the book, or if you're in a limo going someplace, you pull out the book. You always want to continue to educate yourself. And if it's hard to take that first step, picking books that are easy to read are great. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to only pick books for your sudden wealth, fiscal training, and banking. Also pick a book of just something that you would like to learn how to do. Because if you are really, really resistant to reading, pick a book that is of a subject that you would like to learn that has nothing to do with business, just to get your brain more open to starting to read books about education. And it's one of those funny things that once you start doing it and you go, oh shit, I read that and now I know how to do this. Oh, that's perfect for this. And you start to apply your education, you start to apply what you learned, and it's way more fun. Now, for those of you that are going to be offhands, where you're going to be on the chairman of the board and you're going to have everything run for you and they just give you reports once a week, you know, those of you really, really, really need to read books because you got a lot of time on your hands. And you can seriously advance your company if you spend a lot, you know, time self-educating, because you don't work with the people that are running your company hand in hand. That kind of self-education only gives you a much better idea of what your team can actually accomplish. You don't know what you don't know. By reading and educating yourself on that, you know, don't, you know, maybe 4 hours a week, an hour here and there, 30 minutes here and there. Doesn't take long. And you can really, really learn some cool shit and drive your company and not even be in the same building. It's my self-education. Hire somebody for media. You want a company that can do all your social media, can do all your business social media, and can write copy for newsprint to put on AP, that has contacts in all types of media that they can get stories printed and published. They need to have experience in having grand openings and event openings, because part of your main business plan, when you're fleshing out your dates and your start dates, you're also going to have ideas of your finish dates. When your start dates tell you the finish dates. So you're going to have grand openings. You're going to have events. So you want to know who, you know, you want to have a full media company already working with you that knows your style for, you know, 6 months to a year before you have a grand opening, so that they can do all your media, social media, but they can also do all your public media to announce your grand opening and get a lot of attention. Now, for those of you that are in my channel, RV Project Help is shut down. It's not open to the public anymore. It's a closed site. For the 969 members on this channel, one of the things I'm going to be doing is having a website that will be only for this channel members. And what I'm encouraging is for those of you that have grand openings and other major events, that you post it in the calendar of events. Once you figure out what your plans are, you post it in this closed channel. I encourage you to go to each other's grand openings. I'm going to try to go to as many as possible. I'm personally going to try to go to as many as possible. Because what happens is you are about to be doing an amazing thing. Now, when I say you going, I don't necessarily mean you personally. I mean the face of your company. So send your CEO. You need to be a ghost. You can go as his secretary. You're nobody. You go as a nobody, just a general public. You send somebody the face of your company to go. And what happens is when they do the media releases, it looks like a much bigger event because there's all these massive humanitarians that have showed up for somebody's grand opening. The power that we have as a group of 969 people is stunning, folks. We will, when you show up in mass to somebody's event, the new media, the new journalists that are going to be, you know, they're going to get rid of all these crooked journalists, but all the new media that's coming, they're going to actually report on stuff we do, our companies do. So you want people to know that, hey, you've started a sanctuary for animals, or hey, you've got this veterans program. You want the world to know about it, or you want your local to know about it, or wherever area you want it to know. You want the power of the new media that's going to be telling the truth. So if the new media is telling the truth and they say, hey, Rico's grand opening at the racetrack drew Nicole B., the great humanitarian from Chicago that's working in the suburbs. It drew KT401, the humanitarian that's working with children that have eating issues. June, the humanitarian from Canada, who's giving race car drivers back and neck massages in between, you know, any kind of whatever the hell you're doing, okay? Whatever it is. The point is, the newspapers will write about how many rock stars are there. Guess what, people? All y'all about to be rock stars, your companies, your humanitarian projects, they're going to be known because you are going to be advertising about them. People are going to know about your company. That's like, you want to be a ghost, but I may not have really pointed out to the extreme that your company is going to be known because you're going to have a whole media crew that's going to be talking about it. And you're going to be putting out positive news about the good things we're doing and the wonderful humanitarian projects that you're doing. And wow, look, Rico did this humanitarian project and 85 massive humanitarian companies, they all showed up to support him. Do you see the power, folks? RV Project Help is going to understand, the people in RV Project Help is going to understand the power of what we have when I get this website up and I put the calendar up. Once you guys figure out all your grand opening dates, put it on this calendar. And that way, if, you know, I may not realize that Rico literally lives in Denver. Oh, well, he's in Denver. I'll just show up. And the more we do this in our group, the more it drives all of us to get a lot of attention, to be able to help a lot of people. Because if people don't know about you, they can't get your services. So you have to get your name out. And the way you do it is with a tidal wave of people behind you. We got 969 people. So this is why you need media. It's because that media person is gonna put all your information out on social media. They're gonna get as many people aware of your what you're giving away or what your humanitarian project is. So those people that you're supposed to help know where you are so they can come find you. But it just happens at the same time that you're telling everybody else that doesn't need your services about your services. So this is why hiring a media company is really, really important. And that's something that you should work on and really consider how you use that company before the first 90 days, because they're going to be writing the last 30 days before you launch they're going to be working. They're going to be starting a media campaign. Is it getting real yet? Okay, 30 to 60 days. You need to finalize all of your manufacturing contracts. Finalize whatever contracts you have to do. Have all your property ideas. That 30 to 60 days, just everything has to gel. Now, it can be in the beginning of the month, the end of the month, but everything has to gel by that in that first 60 days. At starting 31, day 31, you need to start finalizing all those staggered start dates for all your projects. And then by knowing those start dates, you also know the finish dates, and you need to supply the finish dates to your media company. You're going to start getting staff interviews started. At that point, you need to hire a security company for your, or starting, you know, interviewing to hire a security company for your new humanitarian project. I'm going to purchase a vehicle. I'm going to lease a vehicle for the first month until I get my security team. And then I'm an old lady, folks. I'm 63 years old. I've had all my hot cars. I've had the cars of my dreams. I'm over all that shit. I now want to get I'm going to talk to my security team and say, hey, what kind of vehicle should I buy? And then whatever they say, that's what I'm going to get. So that's why it's not going to happen until, you know, probably the 40 day, 50, 40, somewhere in there. I just need to have the security team hired first. Now that you've gotten everything fleshed out in that next 30 days, what you're starting to do with your CEO is you're going to build the company strategy plans. You're going to build everything for how you're going to move forward. You're going to rely really heavily on your CEO at this point. You have to develop financials, budgeting, forecasting, and all your reporting processes. You have to figure out the company flow of information and how it gets from one area to another. And you have to do it for when the company's fully set up, not for right now when it's just a few of you there. But if you have a company with 40 people, 30 people, 200 people, 2,000 people, how does information flow? Who's in charge of what? These are all things that will be what you and your CEO and your team will be talking about, but it'll be mostly you and your CEO. You need to create a list of, as you're doing this, you'll start creating a list of what you need to do, okay? So you take that list of what you need to do and you make it in three columns, okay? What you need to do, then need to change everything ASAP and no need to touch again. So your executive assistant, you take that thing and you do colors. You have colors that you mark on this so that if it's in transition, you mark it out, you highlight it. And when you give this to your personal assistant, she takes that document and reprints it and changes the status of anything if it's changed on this little document. And then she keeps that in a file for you. Because this list, what you create, is what's missing, and you need to rate each existing process on a scale of 1 to 10. And as that scale changes from no need to touch again to need to change everything as soon as possible, that shows your workflow. That helps you with your workflow and gives you a a working knowledge of where all those steps are in getting everything finished to ready to launch on day 90. You need that every day because you're going to be working with these different people and they're going to ask you, when you have a tax accountant, an estate attorney, a family wealth strategist, a chief financial officer, a CEO, an executive assistant, a philanthropic giving specialist, a trust manager, and a board of trustees, you can't remember all eight of these things. So your assistant takes care of this list. You keep the list, you make it, and then she updates it every day. And that list is your working list of how you're getting through that first 60 days. And it tells you personally what needs more of your attention. So you can make that, push that farther down the road. So 60 to 90 days, that's when you start executing. Start executing your plans, finalizing all your hires, starting things that can get started. You're finalizing all your staggered start dates for all your projects, and you start launching some of those projects because you've got, once you've got everything ready to launch, just start it. You're going to set up a reporting cadence. Cadence means the way it flows, a workflow of how one person gets to another, especially with the hiring. So like on the top of my, here, I'll show you. Okay, I know where it is. It's on desktop. Okay. To add it, dumbass. Desktop. Job. Where does it say job? Okay, there we go. So this is one of my real, your CEO should have all these, by the way. This is one of my real, can't think of the name of this document. When I was searching to hire a VP of marketing and sales, this is my job requirements. I can't think of the word. Come on, Nila, what is this called? this is what I would give to the headhunter to say, hey, this is the kind of person I want. Your CEO should have all of these for every position for people that you want to hire. So if you look at the top of it, it says the job title, the department executive reports to Parker McRae and Bert Dillon and approved by Parker McRae. This shows you the workflow. This is the document that starts where, who reports to who. When you write out your job requirements, that's what it's called, job requirements. When you write out your job requirements, what happens is you're also making a document that shows the reporting process of the reporting cadence. That hiring document shows who reports to who, and it's a solid reporting cadence. You're going to build out reporting structures for forecasts, for budgets, and board packs. These are documents that you're going to give to your board of directors on what you are expecting from each one of them. dang it. Swallowed the tea wrong. Every person on your board of director, you should have them there for a specific reason. Discuss those kind of reasons with your CEO. I have people on my board of directors that are there just because of the doors they can open. I have people that are on my board of directors that are people that I look up to, and my mentors. And I have people on my board of directors for their very special skills and contacts. That's the kind of people you should be looking for. Your CEO will know those kind of people. And if he doesn't, don't hire. That's some of the questions you should ask your CEO during the interview process. Then you're going to create a finance key date calendar. And a finance key date is when does money have to be in one area and when does money have to be paid out. And you're going to list every activity. And your CFO is going to do 90% of that work. You're just going to look at everything, but you need to know that you need to ask him for this. And then your IT person, you should have somebody on staff that can, is like a coder or somebody serious IT guy that can write applications and automation reporting documents. You need to have to you automate everything as much as possible so that anybody that needs to can have access to information immediately. I wish one of the admins was in here, techie gal, last night, and she was freaking amazing. She was able to explain this next part, but I don't understand this shit. I just know it needs to be done. But she had such an elegant way of putting it. That's what she does, folks. She's tech, but she said it creates a board for you to get important information easily, and automation for automation itself is stupid, but automation to get information quickly is exactly where it should be. I have to ask her to say something about it again. And then you want to build financial metrics and KPI dashboards. And 91, you launch. So this is exactly this document came out of man, I want you guys to be successful. The other document has things in it that pertain to the banking stuff and other things. So it has request a personal bank manager. You should do that. You need to set up a relationship with the HSBC bank. Open 3 separate non-interest bearing accounts. These are some of the ideas that were on there. A trust management company, this NAPFA.org. I looked up people on that. It's got a lot of good information. And then STEP, STEP. I don't know if that's .com or .org, but that's another one for wealth financial people. they're award-winning people. There's just information on the different days. It says get a preloaded debit card. You also want to put on your list someplace about your emergency funds. That should be in the first 10 days. Oh, you might want to get a concierge service. That you'll be able to ask for a concierge service through your transition team. A concierge service is everything it's cracked up to be because they basically do all the work to find anything you want. Say they're a time saver, a massive, massive time saver. Nothing else on here that wasn't kind of covered. Know I talked a lot on this one, folks, but I really want you to be successful. I really, 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 really want you to be successful. And by writing these things down and starting to thinking about these things, you're going to go in there with way, way, way more confidence because now you have a full idea of your vision. You can see it. You've thought about, how big it has to be. You've got tools now to think about these things. So that will help you tremendously because if you get asked any kind of questions, you know the answer already. And that kind of confidence is priceless. It's just hard to know how to find it, For some people, maybe not you, but for some people. Anyway, does anybody have any questions?
I guess I have a question, Parker. Ms. Parker, you mentioned after this setting up a website that you'd be setting up a website. I guess my question is, I've been hearing that Telegram may go down and not come back up after this kind of goes off here in the next couple weeks or when everything goes down. So do you have a signal channel or any other way that the group could communicate?
Yeah, I think we could set up a signal channel.
Awesome, thanks. So yeah, I think I don't know how true that is about Telegram going down. I just thought maybe if we could just have a secondary place, that would be great.
Well, I'm hoping to get the temporary link up for the website by tomorrow. So I will see about getting the Signal site and getting the other link up.
Sounds good. Thanks so much. I much appreciated.
I appreciate you saying something. I didn't even think about it. I was just working slowly and I was like, oh, maybe I need to go a little faster. No questions.
No questions, no call.
I have a question.
Sure, go ahead.
I was just wondering if any of your sources thought we were looking positive for next week, if we should make sure we have all our paperwork touched up and ready to go.
I'm checking my email every hour if that tells you anything.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
I have never checked my email every hour up until 7:30 last night.
Just saying.
Aloha, I have a question.
Aloha.
Could you explain exactly how the Zimbabwe humanitarian will pay out? We're hearing, you know, all different kind of numbers, but let's just say, for example, you get $30 million per 100 trillion. And then when you go to the humanitarian, they're supposed to up it somewhat. Does that mean that that whole 30 million needs to go towards that project plus the rest of it? Or is it just, how's that work out? So I'm trying to figure out budget.
Somebody's got their mic. Thank you. Nobody knows rates. Nobody. Everybody's giving you their best guess, but nobody knows rates. So I can't tell you. I don't know. I do know that when you exchange money in the normal, like you're going out of country and then you come back to country, I know that it's not legal for different places to have different exchange rates. It's not legal. It's to pay different amounts. Now, because it's the rate. So one bank, if the federal rate is whatever it is, you can't change it. That's not legal. So I don't think that there'll be different ways that they can pay higher or lower, because we're still under the old laws, unless they change that immediately. But the thing is I don't know. Nobody does. We don't know. They may announce a QFS, and that means we flip into QFS and everything I'm saying is wrong. We don't know. So that is the most maddening part about this, is because we can't figure out budgets. Because we don't know what they're going to announce. We don't know if they're going to announce the QFS to the general public before or after. We don't know if we're going to be trading in fiat dollars, or if the big thing they're going to say tomorrow is we're all went to QFS. We don't know. And anybody that tells you that they know, they're lying. We don't know. So I'm right there with you, Mama. I am so right there with you. I can't figure out nothing, because I can't figure out what the value of anything is going to be. And that's just driving me insane. So, no, got no answer for you. Sorry. Anybody else? Well, folks, I guess this is it. Thank you very much for coming to the channel and listen to me. I had a crazy, crazy headache while I've been doing this. And so, a terrible potty mouth. So thank you very much for showing up and listening. I probably won't even post this one, because I went off topic very badly. So I'll probably re-record this again. Thank you for listening. Unless there's anybody that has anything to say, I'm going to stop recording now.
Thank you so much, Ms. Parker. You've been absolutely amazing. Drink plenty of water, and I hope you feel better soon.
Thank you, ma'am. That's really kind of you, because my headache is banging. Good night, everybody. Let's
Good
see.
night.
Prayer.
Good night.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the humanitarians and bless them. Put that cape of strength around their shoulders so they can be the humanitarians they're made to be. In your heavenly name, amen.
Amen.